the Armalite ready.
I suppose you expect me to surrender the Institute to...
No, Ship of Brains. We expect you to die.
We want Christy Roth back, safe and untouched. And all our other friends, with their weapons. We want safe passage through the sec barrier on the blacktop out of here. And no pursuit. That's all.
That's all? You stand here at the very heart of our complex with dozens of armed men within my call and try to set terms?
They aren't like any of the other Outlanders we've taken over the years, Dave. They've got this far. Who's to say they can't go further?
A small door, partly hidden by a geometric Amish quilt, swung open. Christy entered, followed by the rest of the group of friends.
Dad, you all right?
I'm fine. Questions and answers come later. Hello, lover. Christy walked toward him with that familiar stride, her green gaze fixed to his face. She ignored Buford, who was standing between them, close to Ryan.
No. Christy, don't do it. Negative conditioning instruction.
What? Christy ignored the white coat. She ignored everyone else in the room. All of her attention was focused on Ryan. When she was only 5 paces away, she reached inside her dark blue jacket and pulled out a black-hilted knife with a 10-inch steel blade.
Ryan, you fucking bastard! Yeah!
Christy lunged at Ryan's face with the knife. Her mouth was curled in psychotic hatred, her beautiful eyes narrowed in vicious rage. Ryan had the Six-Hour in his hand, and it would have been the work of a moment to level it at Christy and blow her head from her shoulders. But his finger froze in the trigger. He even tried to call out to her, but his tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth, and he couldn't make a sound. Ryan had always known since he was a young boy that death comes calling for all men. Now it had come for him. Ladro Buford made his move. With Christy right on top of him, he thrust out his hand in front of her like a pre-dark traffic cop.
No!
Thwarted by the little middle-aged man in her way, Christy stabbed at him. The point of the knife struck him in the center of his right cheek, slicing down, hacking off a neat section of his face, exposing the pearly whiteness of teeth in the gum beneath.
You're next, Ryan, you dead meat son of a bitch!
Christy stabbed again and again, cutting the white coat's face apart, ripping flesh away, carving the end off his nose, lunging and popping one eye neatly out of its socket. Buford was unrecognizable, his features ripped apart like a ruined carnival mask. And still, Ryan wasn't able to pull the trigger.
Christy, stop!
Dad, get away from her!
The three sec men, lying prone under the threat of Traitor's Armalite, noticed that the red-haired woman's attack on the white coat had distracted everyone. Even Traitor, the survivor of 1,000 firefights, had been taken aback by Christie's insane behavior and lost his concentration. Crichton lunged at the emergency bell pull, summoning more sec men to help. Jack had spotted the guns on the table and was moving to regain his own cold python, JP at his heels. Doc stood with his Lama in his hand, eyes staring in disbelief. Abe had been walking toward Traitor when Christy had started her attack, and now Abe was frozen, halfway across the floor. Ryan backed away several steps, the Six-Hour pointing uselessly at his woman. Suddenly, the three sec men made their move.
Now!
They bolted to their hands and knees, one of them clutching at Traitor, trying to bring him down and grab his gun. That seemed to break the spell. Ryan spun and fired his Six-Hour. Traitor wrenched away his Armalite. He used the butt to batter the second man to the floor. Jack threw one of his knives, miraculously backhanded, into the third sec man's neck, knocking him onto the bloodied floor. Buford was already dead, but Christy plunged the knife yet again.
Fuck!
The point of the knife in her hand snapped off, broken against the scientist's jawbone, but it was still a lethal weapon. And nothing stood between Christy and Ryan.
Shoot her, traitor! Shoot Christy!
No!
That's right, lover. Just you and me!
Suddenly, the doors at both ends of the room burst open. Through the far door came 8 or 10 sec men, all holding Mossbergs, nearly falling over one another as they took in the scene of dying and death. Ryan half turned to the figure who had come in through the entrance just behind him, blinking in disbelief. It was Christy Roth.
Get out of the way so me and that phony bitch can get to it!
Ryan hesitated, deciding for a moment that he had totally lost his mind. The two women were identical, except for the fact that one had a homicidal grin pasted on her lips and was holding a bloodied broken blade in her hand. Then a sec man fired his Mossberg.
Shit!
Ryan remembered the comment about how the sec men at the Melissa Crichton Institute were efficient enough, as far as they went. They never come up against murderous fighting machines like Jack, Prater, and JB. They were hopelessly outclassed by them. Apart from that single round from one of their Mossbergs, they never fired a shot in retaliation. Being cut down where they stood, their bodies dancing and whirling as the bullets tore them apart in fountains of thick blood.
Don't anyone shoot her!
The Christie, who was much nearer to Ryan, hadn't moved since the shooting began, as if the noise and dying had somehow disoriented her. Now her green eyes came back into focus, staring this time past Ryan, past him, at the doppelganger standing a few steps beyond.
Move your ass, lover! Rest of you, cover the doors in case we get more company!
Ryan took a few cautious paces to his left. Everyone was watching the bizarre face-off, including Professor Crichton, who was sitting up on his bed, hands to his chest, breathing hard, having miraculously avoided being hit by any of the hail of Full Metal Jacketed death. The first Christie, with the knife, had backed away a little, glancing down at the lake of blood that lay across half the floor, careful not to slip in it. The second Christie, unarmed, was advancing, smiling, her arms out wide like a wrestler. Dean had sidled around to stand by his father, reaching up to take his hand for reassurance.
Get her, Christie!
Both of the red-headed, green-eyed women turned toward her, smiling. Then they closed on each other, and the unarmed Christie grabbed at the wrist of the armed double, keeping the knife away from herself. But from then on, the fight was seriously weird. Every move one would make, the other would instantly counter, like a pair of mirror images locked in identical combat. It was as if each knew precisely what was in the other's mind and was preparing to counter it before the initial action had even begun. They spun and staggered around, boots sliding in the blood. They both had managed to grip a part of the knife hilt. It was no longer possible to tell which was which. For several seconds, they stood locked together, straining.
Help me, lover!
Ryan drew his panga.
Slit the cunt's throat, lover!
Ryan knew that Christie almost never used the C word. He started to move in.
No! I told you! She's mine! No!
Suddenly, one Christie had the knife buried in her chest up to the hilt, blood trickling down from the cut in the white shirt. The other stepped back, watching her rival, her other self, drop to the floor.
Christie, are you all right?
You're next, Cotter! No, just kidding, lover. I worked it out. It wasn't a stalemate like it looked. They used a Metrans unit to clone me instantly. But this poor bitch was only a kind of first-generation copy of me. They programmed her by tweaking molecules or neurons or something to make her hate you. It was the last test. She could only react to what she thought I was doing. So I positively decided to pull at the knife, then pushed it instead. She wasn't quite quick enough to react. I feel sorry for her in a way.
Yeah. Two of you could have helped me fulfill one of my ultimate fantasies.
Oh!
How did you escape, Christie?
Easy. There was a big alarm about some killing going on. They left me with only one sec man. I kicked him in the groin and sent his balls into the back of his throat. Then I came here.
Ryan moved to hug her, feeling the tension in her body as he clasped her tight.
It's good to have you back safe, lover.
You too. I reckon we should get our asses in gear and get out of this place. I just wish we had some Plasex to blow the heart out of it. There's seriously evil things going on.
JB held up two burner grins.
Funny you should say that. We got these babies and four more beside. Enough to start some real damage.
The lab's right next door.
Dad! Look!
Dean pointed to the bed. Professor David Crichton, grandson of the founder, the mastermind behind everything that had gone on in the Institute, was dead. The last few minutes of violence and savage slaughter had been too much for his weak heart, and he had simply fallen back onto his pillows, his lips pulled back off his yellow teeth, eyes staring into infinity.
Don't weep for him.
Never even crossed my fucking mind. Let's move, people.
They escaped, through the damaged window near the cells, out into